following is a digital media production.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What you want me to do? I'm sorry.
Hey, B.
What you want me to do? Open the door. Stop playing.
Hey, Jay, man, be strong, man. You know what I mean? We with you in this tough time, man. Keep your head up, man.
Man, it's all good, man. Hey, B, open the door.
In the conversation, tune in.
It's time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon. Crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, yeah, we are back in the conversation. This is Damian Lemon, man. I'm here seated with Ali Muhammad.
Put some respect on my name.
Vlad is still West Coasting. He'll be back soon, but we here. We talking our shit. We out here. What I want to say, man, put some respect on your name. Is that what you want to say before it all start? Or I want
to... No, I done said what I had to say.
Oh, okay.
I ain't going to tell you no more.
I mean, but I'm saying, motherfucker, did you pull up on... No, I ain't got nobody you could have pulled up on.
That was kind of crazy, man.
That was a situation.
Early in the morning. Woke up on the wrong
he
side
woke
of the
up
bed.
With it. He woke up with an agenda. He woke up with an agenda. That was interesting, man. What do you think? What do you make of that?
I mean, you know, of course, is you know.
Well, first of all, let's explain it. What? Okay,
go ahead.
I mean, you referenced it. Talk about it.
Well, baby, I guess I mean, a lot of if you've been on the internet the last couple of days, maybe you may have seen where Charlamagne the God and the Breakfast Club, Angelique, DJ,
all three,
Envy,
yeah,
got called out by Baby, Birdman. Cash Money Millionaire.
Brian Williams,
brother of Slim. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? So he came in and he told them to put some respect on his name with a K. Like, respect, uh-huh. Put some respect on my name. Uh-huh. And commenced to, you know, saying not much more than that, but in a very threatening way.
Yeah.
That they going to respect him.
Uh-huh.
I really never knew. When did they disrespect him?
I mean, I don't think it was all intent. I don't think it was explicitly just, they disrespect a lot of people. Not disrespect, but you talk about the shit of the day.
Uh-huh.
I think maybe they brought him up in a few conversations. Like when Rick Ross was coming up, he came up recently and I think there was some conflict between that. I think Ross felt the way about how Baby had been treating Wayne, mm-hmm. and he was a little outspoken about it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe somebody else had come up there as well and was a little outspoken about, you know. Because the thing with Baby is, from what I've seen, and I think I'm not the only one, Baby kind of comes across as one of these people that... you don't really want to fuck with.
Right.
Or so it seemed like he was, you know, real quiet about his shit. He got a strong pimp hand. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that supposedly he owe money to that just they might not get that. You know, he's been a 5-star gangster,
right?
From what I understand. And I don't think it's ever really been proven to be some bullshit, you know, you know, it's like one of those things where it's like he might be 100 with this. We don't know, but let's play it safe and chill. So he came through with all of that I'm the man energy with at least what he had about 7 to 10 goons, silent goons that just formed for like that. First of all, that shit was wild. Like I look, man. I was watching this shit. I tweeted. I was like, I'm watching this shit. I'm tense in the safety of my own home because they let the goons like just form up behind everybody. It was like
at
least
two.
Yeah, they got in formation. for real. Was one very close to Charlamagne. A couple of them right behind Angela. Envy was good because
he had the geography on his side.
He had the geography on his side. They had the cameras on their side.
Right.
Go ahead.
But, I mean, you know, these guys have been around for a long time.
What are you talking about? Breakfast Club?
Baby.
Okay.
Baby, they got an organization. They've been running around making money, doing shows, getting cash bags for a long time. So, you know, that goon situation is going to be, You know, man.
A1?
Should be A1 at this point when he 5-star repping Blood Gang and everything.
Right.
That's a, you know what I'm saying, nationwide network of goons.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? The goon game is all the way together. Mm-hmm. Whether or not he needed that much army.
That much goonage.
Goonage for Charlamagne, Angela Yee, and DJ Envy. That's to be questioned.
Yeah. I guess it was, a scare tactic.
No doubt. And it was probably for the cameras, too.
Was it for the cameras? I mean, I'm sure it was for the, cameras are there. So you gotta sell. Like, this is the persona.
Right.
You gotta live up to it. You big bad motherfucker. You gotta come through big bad, you know. My thought, honestly, beyond all of that, I was like, I wanna know where the weapons is hidden in that studio, because there was a level of calm that maybe it comes from, like, the cameras is running. So if anything happened, we got footage, we could go to court with it.
Mm-hmm.
But still, to allow a good 7 to 10 motherfuckers come through, just with no words,
mm-hmm.
formation behind you in your own studio, you gotta have a weapon. You gotta have a weapon in your home. You just got to have a weapon.
Of business.
Hell yeah, you got to be like, there's got to be a plan. I'm sorry, these are all bright people. I'm sorry, they gotta have a plan for yo. You know, we say some shit sometimes. And if shit go left, I got the shank over here. I got the bottle over here. I got whatever.
Shouldn't there be some type of security for that?
I'm sure there's security, but with the security, got to make it in the room. Like, people were in touching distance.
Right, but that's the question. How the goons got in touching distance with no, you know what I'm saying, army from the radio side.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure there was more than meets the eye. I'm sure people might have been screened. You know what I mean?
Right.
I definitely saw some people on the outside, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, shout out to Wax. Wax was in the building.
Hmm.
You know, that's
Wax?
Wax is Charlamagne's...
Security?
Yeah, security, right hand, you know what I mean?
Gunner.
He gonna hold him down.
No doubt.
You know? I don't know who was holding down everybody else. That's why I'm thinking it's gotta be some shit in arm's length. For just in case. Just in case a motherfucker can't make it through that door in time, I need to be able to do some damage and free myself
so
from the situation.
In a firearm or
I don't even
baseball
know.
Bat?
Baseball bat, pair of scissors, anything in the
okay,
moment. Just
okay.
Some shit to get somebody up off your ass. You want one of those? A good drill.
Damn,
a good drill. Two pokes, and I'm going to take a spin move, and I'm out this way.
I thought it was all corporate America up there.
Shit. I mean, you never know. You never know. But that's where my mind went. I was like, damn, these motherfuckers is encroaching.
Right, no
this
doubt.
This is well beyond the personal space.
No doubt.
These ain't no, and if these are new artists, introduce yourselves.
No doubt.
Let us know.
Doubt.
Don't just be silent and just imposing.
Nah, no doubt. And, and that sense of calm probably exists because they probably seen this over and over.
Probably.
You know, the big dog barking. They know really not much really going to happen, you know what I'm saying, per se.
Especially if you got them cameras running, too. I mean.
You got the cameras. Everybody been screened at the bottom of the building. Everybody had to get their ID.
Got to give up your ID. I'm trying to think if there's a screen, and I don't remember any metal detector situation.
Nah, it might not be no metal detector.
So you have some metal,
but
undetected.
Yeah, so, it ain't too much going down. Now, if you were in the club,
yeah,
it's a little more wide open.
So what did you think? Because now, you look at the internet,
mm-hmm.
looking like Baby is kind of looking like the butt of the joke in this.
Well, he was the only one that could have been the butt of the joke, and... I think he enjoyed this type of attention.
Maybe, because it adds to mystique.
It adds to mystique, but at the same time, he knows that as long as you speak in his name, he's going to be making money. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So as long as they talking about him, they're going to somehow play one of his artist records.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He's going to stay in the conversation. As long as he's in the conversation, he's relevant.
Yeah, I guess so.
What is he going on a radio tour about right now? What is he selling?
He's selling that gangster.
He's selling his relevance. That's it. You know what I'm saying?
He got a couple artists. Because he did an interview with Angie Martinez later on. And then one of the guys, I think the one that was sitting closest to Charlamagne, is actually an artist.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I forget his name, but I think he's one of the new guys. He got a slew of new cats he's trying to to process through the Cash Money fold or whatever.
Okay, okay.
But that didn't seem to be top
of
mind.
The priority. That was not the priority.
No. But I got to get that man Charlamagne a good one time for that retort. Retort was a little slick.
No doubt.
Did you pull up on Baby and Trick Daddy with that? Baby was like, let me get the fuck out of here before shit.
That's a little loud mouth talking chatty patty.
Oh man. That's crazy.
Yeah, that was a throwback to another era of hip hop.
It just shows there's still some consequences to the shit talk. You got to be impeccable with your word, as they say in the Four Agreements. You know, because what you say could come back to you, but you just better be ready to own it.
I think Charlamagne understand that now.
Of course.
He know what it is.
I think he understood it before. I think so. I mean, you know, don't take too much. He's been attacked before.
Oh, okay. I don't even know about the one outside the building.
Can I get a drop? That's the attack we're talking about. I know about that one. So I believe once you've been attacked, especially cameras and attack, you get a plan of action together. That's why I'm like, it's got to be some type. But these are not people that haven't thought, like, Angela's not stupid at all.
Right.
You know what I mean? Envy been in the game for years.
No doubt.
So is Charlamagne. You know, like, and we know we are the top rated show.
All three of y'all.
Yeah, we know that we might say some wild shit. We know things might go left. Man, things might get heated. We do know we deal in a space, a hip-hop space, where there's a lot of sensitivity.
No doubt.
A lot of sensitive thugs.
No doubt.
That feel away when shit sounds sideways. So as a plan of action, they got fire drills and things of that nature.
No doubt.
I'm just saying, listen, by my foot is, you know what I mean?
So what you think? What you think?
I don't know. I'm not speculating.
You think,
I'm not speculating.
Charlamagne weapon is. Because he the one going to need it most.
Yeah, I don't know. I might have to ask him, see what it is. You know, shit. What would your weapon be?
A hatchet. A menacing.
A fucking hatchet. Oh, golden axe.
Yeah. Some shit that come out with sound effects.
Shing, shing. Shing, shing. But you might not get all of that pullback with the hat. Like, you need
What you going to have? A little shank?
A shank will get a motherfucker. All of that hatchet shit. You get one swing that miss with that hatchet.
You're not going to miss.
Right. You're going with an axe. So you're going with a battle axe.
Like a short one.
Oh, a little short. A little handheld hatchet.
Yeah, a little handheld.
So you've been doing some research. He's been doing some research for weaponry. A handheld hat. How much is it going for on Amazon? The handheld hatchet.
I don't know. I know it's quick.
Triple
to get H. To.
And what you attack? You going for the neck? You going for the head? You going for the leg? What you doing?
Closest body part. In a corporate fight, you know what I'm saying? One little scratch going back him up off you.
Is it corporate at that point though? Is that it? What was the corporate? I don't know. Is it corporate when you fucking with Baby?
Yeah, in front of the cameras, it's kind of corporate.
Okay, you got to keep it corporate. All right.
Just my only opinion. I can dig it.
But I was surprised by like how much shit has spun off. Like that shit, only 2 minutes. That has been source material for, I feel like that shit's got more memes than anything. Even maybe Beyonce.
Wow.
That shit got a lot of memes.
Nah, it's funny.
It is funny, but I mean, damn. I mean, they've been turned over. I've seen different beats made from the interview.
I actually heard a beat today that somebody sent me on the snap. That was dope.
Yeah. I seen the Hamiltones do a little doo-wop version. That was cool.
That's my personal favorite.
I've seen the Michael Jordan face being applied to the video immediately after. I've seen a lot of shit. I didn't think the respect on my name was the catchphrase, though. I thought, are we finished or are we done? That just sounds like somebody that's at their wit's end, that's ready to just get the fuck on.
But he the only one that started it. So he must have been asking himself.
That's when you hot. You don't even know
are
how
we
to,
finished or are we done?
You don't even know how to articulate your point no more. Nigga, you are upset. Let me get like, the fuck out of here.
He was grandma mad.
I got a question. This is a question that somebody said on Twitter. Shout out to my man, Boss Nard. He brought it to my attention. There's a point where He's talking, and he looked like it looked like he spit a razor out.
Right, right. Oh, no, I don't know if it was a razor.
I thought, because first I thought it was gum.
Yeah.
But then if you look at it, because I watched it again, it looked like he like pulled it out of his cheek and spit it and did the spit out, like, you know.
For what? For ready for action?
I don't know. Just maybe ready for action, get it out of his mouth, maybe theatrics, who knows. He's fighting blood, you know what I mean, supposedly, you know. You know, who knows? But that was one of the moments. What did y'all think? You thought that was some gum? Did you feel like that was a razor?
Yeah, I thought he almost choked on his gum or something.
Could have been. Watch it again, because it looked like he did a little movement.
Well, you know, could have been. Maybe one of his gold teeth fell out.
Nah, them shits, ain't they drilled in? They real. That's permanent. All right. Anything else on that?
Jeezy teeth was permanent too.
Oh shit. Yo, I only saw a photo, so his teeth fell out.
That's what they said, man. I'm just talking shit. Speculation report.
Put some respect on
I got respect on your name, Jeezy. No need to bum rush the conversation.
Yeah, man. Let's not do none of that type of shit. We too grown for that type of shit, man.
What else popping, man?
Man, I just want to say thank you to everybody that tuned in to Comedy Knockout on True TV.
Yep.
We kicked it off on the 21st, last Thursday, you know, first episode. We got a good 9 more. We got the season going.
No doubt.
You know, it was a cool episode, fun shit. You know, I'm excited about, you know, the rest of y'all seeing. I'm just happy it's in the world.
So, I mean, you know, now that it's out.
Yes.
You see yourself on the stage, you know right. what I'm saying? You follow along on the internet, or do you?
I have to. I will be doing that. I'll be live tweeting. I didn't live tweet the first week because unfortunately Prince passed
on the
day of the premiere.
Well, you know, your birthday, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess
it's Purple Day.
Yeah, it's the Purple Day. You know, it was a big day. So, like, you know. I wasn't going to be out there super live tweeting, you know.
No doubt, no
Speaking
doubt.
Of which, but I want to, go ahead, let's get to it.
Yeah, yeah, so you know what I'm saying, what you did see of the response, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it was, you know.
It was mostly positive host, for
you know
the
saying?
Most
how,
part.
How'd it feel?
It felt good. I mean, it was cool to see, man. You asking me, man. I pick shit apart.
Well.
You know what I mean? So I don't even want to get into.
We transparent here.
Well, we to a point. I'm not going to pick the shit apart with the people. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate y'all watching it. I think, you know, we had a good time. It took a while to get into a rhythm. It was something new. You know what I mean? So there's certain episodes that are going to be better than other episodes, you know? I'm being honest with you. You got to develop a lather.
You got to
get comfortable with it, even get more engaged with it. Like, you know, going into it as a host, or just a lot of new opportunities, when you go into something that's new, for me, I look at reference points, right? And the host thing has always been one of those things that it could go from a good host to kind of corny with it, you know, like hosty, could be real guy smiley, or, you know, like that's the guy from the Muppets and shit.
Right.
Or you could be a cool Chuck Woolery ass motherfucker, you know? But you start looking outside yourself like, okay, so how should I approach this hosted thing? You start looking at what hosting means to you, but you just got to do you. You got to find who you are and bring you to it. And you know, and that took a minute to say, all right, trust what got you the gig,
right?
You know, and engage, be in the moment,
right?
Like when they playing the games, respond, be in that shit, like be engaged. Don't detach. Don't be waiting for the next cue.
Right.
You know, I got an IFB in my ear. Like you got to get
that's like an earphone, Secret Service style.
Yeah. I don't know what IFB stands for, but it's like it's an in ear thing. You see people on the news with the shit. They communicate. I communicate with the control room.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. You hearing people in the okay? We got enough. We can move on. You could, and then you gotta now, because it's kind of like you're the. I've been saying, you know, it's kind of like you're a referee or even a teacher of sorts, where you gotta be like, all right, guys, we got enough. Because once comedians get on the roll, they start riffing, and there's a live crowd. Right. They want to keep that shit going, especially if a joke didn't hit and they trying to build back their momentum.
Right.
And as a comic, I'm very sensitive to that, so I'm like, I see what you're doing. I want to let you. Get the crowd on your side. But right now, we got to move on to the next one. And you got to figure out a way in which to do that.
Right.
Where you don't offend nobody and you keep it moving, you know?
Yeah, because these are like your peers.
These are my peers. This is my community.
You
got to
see them tomorrow night.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? I don't want, you know, motherfucker be tight.
You know what I'm saying?
Put some respect on my
name, damn it. Put some respect on my name.
Nah, I didn't do that. But it was cool, man. It's bone. It's now you know.
Hey, that
ain't gonna be all that.
I ain't gonna need no weapon for these comedian motherfuckers.
Now you making it more than that. But I'm just saying, you know, it's moments. You know, it's moments where you're dealing with wardrobe that'll have you and shit that maybe you wouldn't wear. But that's just because that's just you don't really challenge yourself stylistically. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you ever try to switch your style up, you put some shit on, and be like, eh, this ain't my style. Yeah. But you don't challenge your style. Then there's like, you know, there's some shoes on there, you know, might have a couple what are those moments.
They're good
shoes.
They're real shoes.
But they just unfamiliar.
Yeah.
You know, and they got a pair of Air Unfamiliars on.
Hey, man.
But overall, man, aside from looking at all of the bullshit, picking apart, looking at all the raw things, I'm happy for the opportunity. It was great. True is happy, you know. Embassy Rose happy. It was a great production. Like, just on the, you know, from the beginning, they, you know, they made it the best. You know, and I plan if we keep going, we get a second season just to just kind of keep it moving and just seeing what we could shape and things of that nature. It's just like any other first season.
Right.
You know, you got to get the kinks out. You know, you watch the first season of Seinfeld, it ain't like the fourth season.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, congrats, man. That's big
thank
shit.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that, man. We had some chop up, so thank you. Because, you know, we was having some real talk.
Yeah. We, you know, got to get, you know, got to have a corner man. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Shout out to this man, Ali Muhammad. Shout out to my corner man on the show, Nori Davis.
No doubt.
Holding me down, man. Shout out to everybody that worked with me on the show. Shout out to Mo Mandel, who's the creator of the show.
Right.
You know. But, shit, that's Thursdays. Every Thursday, True TV, right after Impractical Jokers. Great little alley-oop. You know, we're going to have a bunch of funny comics on there playing some wild games. So check it out, man.
No doubt.
There it is.
Big thanks.
Hey, guys. It's Jeremy Roenick here. Are you a hockey fan? Do you like interviews with some of the biggest names in sports? Then we are the podcast for you. It's the Roenick Life Podcast with J.R. and Jaffe. Join me and Billy Jaffe each week as we give you our takes and opinions on the NHL and just about everything else in between. We'll talk hockey a lot, but we even may dip into other sports, politics, and entertainment. Nothing is off limits. It's Roenick Life Podcast with JR and Jaffe. New episodes publish every Tuesday morning. Find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and we are now on Spotify. Don't miss it.
What else is good, man?
You know, everybody's sipping on this lemonade.
Are they? Yeah. It's out there. Yeah, Beyonce know how to roll some shit out, man.
It don't even know roll out. That shit just come out and smash shit.
Boom, boom.
That shit don't even roll.
Boom. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? She just sat that right there.
And not too many people could captivate the world like that.
Nah, not right now.
I'm seeing people talk, especially given the circumstances, everything that was going on, too, in the cultural landscape, which we'll talk on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, everybody has been taking a take and trying to unpack this album from fucking the news to obviously the regular, you know, the people that are, like, you know, everybody that does the media, the music media, but I've seen people talking about this shit on the Chew. Like, it is a real.
I mean, it's conversation worthy. You know what I'm saying? When we talk about in the conversation, that shit is the conversation, and the way, like you say, rollout. You know, I think now with Beyonce kind of leading the way in this, artists are at least she is thinking about the creative process in more than one dimension. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times you might go in and write your songs. I think a lot of times they're putting these songs together, understanding that they're going to use other forms of media within, you know what I'm saying, the presentation of it, which actually changes the art form a little bit. Actually a lot, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, because now it's more than one way to ingest it. Like I've been listening to the album.
Mm-hmm.
But then I feel like after listening to the album, I'm like, all right, well, let me run back and watch the thing. I only seen it, I watched it live when it happened.
Right.
And I was definitely busy trying to get some of them tweets off that I might have missed certain things. You know, I missed Serena twerking. I had to see that later. I was like, wait, what'd I miss? I didn't know she was clapping it like
bugging.
That. Yeah, I missed that because I was trying to get a fire tweet off. You know? So I missed that. But, you know, it's different ways of looking at it. Mm-hmm. It was a different way of kind of captivating the people all at once again. Because, you know, when she just dropped that Beyonce album out of the blue, visual album,
mm-hmm.
it was so non-traditional. It's so different that in that moment it was like, well, that can't be done anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's that. She did that. If she does it again, it's kind of like, all right, we've seen it. So now how can you top what you did last time?
Right.
Let's get it on HBO.
Right.
Let's be ambiguous about what you're going to see. Because Lemonade doesn't really tip the hat to anything until you start hearing the content.
Yeah, it was clever.
Yeah.
It was definitely clever. You know what I'm saying? And she probably named it because it had an emoji.
A lemon emoji, which I could have used. Thanks, B.
You could have been on it.
Like, this nigga ain't using that.
Let me take that.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, but it drops. But at the same time, you know what I'm saying? It is worthy of, you know, your attention. You know what I'm saying? It not only grabs it, it's when you're watching it, it's so many things in there to catch. And so much went into it, you could tell in the details of that shit that, you know, I watched it twice back to back.
Talk to me.
I watched it twice back to back just to catch some of the different references.
What did you, as a filmmaker, what did you catch? What did you think? What did you appreciate?
Well, first of all, you know what I'm saying? I could recognize right off the rip all of the Khalil Joseph in it. You know what I'm saying?
Was that who directed it?
He was one of the directors. You know what I'm saying? So all of that water stuff and, you know what I'm saying, all of that, you know what I'm saying, just the people setting it. To me, I think all of that's Khalil Joseph.
Who was Khalil Joseph?
Khalil Joseph is he's a video director, a filmmaker per se, that, you know, to me, innovated the kind of space of creating short films around music.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I think the first one he did was a African artist where he took his album and created a whole short film from it. That was probably about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, that, you know, that inspired other filmmakers to follow suit. So even like when we worked on a video with Pharrell Monch and Terrence Nance directed. And basically it was a short film instead of a music video.
What record was that?
That was Clap.
Okay.
Pharrell Monch Clap. And it was like a 20-minute film that basically was based on the song.
Gun clap or like a just clap your hands clap or play off of both?
Play off of both.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So did a whole 20-minute short film with Bang In and my man from The Wire who played Killer Chris.
Oh, Mac Wilds?
Nah, Banger.
I don't know how to say his name. Gembe, I think. Yeah. Pardon me. IMDb.
His American name, Banger.
Is that what it is?
Banger. Yeah.
Shout out to Banger. Shout out to Chris from The Wire.
No doubt.
Killer Chris from The Wire.
But you know what I'm saying? Khalil Joseph inspired that type of play when you're talking about music and filmmaking, you know what I'm saying, like right around 2009, 2010. So that influence already was big on me, you know what I'm saying, seeing what the visuals were. But just the way they put it together, you know what I'm saying, just like throwing the different references in there, throwing the Malcolm X in there,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, making it more than about this song, but more about a entire message,
mm-hmm.
more about, I guess, you know, the people listening than it was about the artists themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's how I took it.
Right.
Cause she put messages in that many women could, you know what I'm saying, relate to and grab hold to. So, you know, I thought I appreciated the shit, you know what I'm saying?
Do you think you could appreciate it as much as a woman could appreciate it?
Nah. I mean, okay. I'm not a woman, I'm a spectator in that division, but you know, I understand impact and I understand something that changes shit.
Uh-huh.
And that conversation is changing.
I kind of wanted to have a woman here to kind of speak on it because I was talking to someone this weekend and they were like, nah, you don't really see it. You know, I could see it to that. Okay. I, you know, I didn't think the conversation could be limited by gender, but I guess there's certain things that you could feel. There's a different type of empathy that you could feel by, like, as a woman. You know, no doubt. I've talked to some women since then about that shit. And the way they respond, first of all, the way they respond to Beyonce in general, but the way they respond to this material in particular is very fiercely.
Right.
Like, I didn't even watch it with my lady. My lady was in the other room. I checked in on her, but it was definitely,
you know, that's what
fellas was under fire.
Under pressure. You know what I'm saying? Under pressure.
Get your shit together.
You know what I'm saying? That shit got questions on every relationship. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got no strikes, and my wife was looking at me like,
yeah.
What was that inbox?
That was the new conversation.
Yeah, but you know.
Who that?
You know what I'm saying? Is that bad?
Exactly. Let's talk about everything. Well, let's talk about the whole shit. Let's talk about it. What you think of the content? What you think of the material? What you think of it all? Like, what you think of the message? Do you feel like the message is genuine? Do you feel like this is genuine and this is how I felt. I'm gonna say how I felt, and then we'll talk. And you tell me how you feel. All right. So I watched it, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, like immediately, 3 minutes in, I'm like, oh shit, this is real. Right. This is some not even subliminals. There are some sharp lines that are very pointed, and I'm like, wait a minute, like. Is this the unraveling? Are we watching? Are we watching the announcement that these two are finished? Jay-Z and Beyonce are finished,
right?
Because there's a whole lot of I don't know the lines, but I know there was a find a new wife, throw the
big
ring.
Big homie need to grow up.
All of that type of shit. Call himself the God.
Go see Becky with the good hat.
All of that, but it felt as though. Cause every day I was like, okay, so this must be what inspired the elevator incident.
Right, exactly.
Did this man really cheat? Right. So then I'm like, all right, so if this man cheated, right? There's no way that he was unbeknownst to this project of this magnitude.
Go ahead.
You know what I mean? So then I'm like, all right, so what kind of conversation is this? Like, cause this is a real conversation. This is real life relationship. This is deep level relationship shit. This ain't for the surface relationship. This ain't for beginners.
Right.
This is real turmoil being dealt with. Right. So now, if this really happens, say my man, whatever, say the shit happened. Right.
Right.
And I'm looking. I'm part of it. It's like, okay. We got to deal with this. We're going to do what we can to deal with this. But part of it, I feel like these are two artists that are like, listen, you know, I'm an artist and I got to purge this from my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm going to have to put this shit on wax.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because one, you know, I'm just as on top of the game, if not higher than you are in the game. So I have a profile to protect. I can't be out here. Any woman, their shit is, don't have me looking crazy.
Right.
So let me get ahead of this shit. I got to really speak about this. I might have to air you out, young man.
Right.
And I need you to understand. I understand that you might be sorry.
Right.
But I got to make some lemonade out of this situation.
Right.
How do you unpack that? Like, could you,
listen,
that's progressive as fuck.
Right, right. But see, you got to understand, they did go through a situation that blew out of control, you know what I'm saying, that we don't know.
And that's
really
the other thing. Do we even fucking know? Like, that?
Yeah,
we don't know. We speculating.
Yeah, we speculate.
It's the ultimate speculation report.
We speculating like a motherfucker, but when a motherfucker start laying hands on you and shit, that's...
Yeah.
That's a different level of...
That helps the speculation.
That helps the speculation. So anyway, once that's out there in the world, you know, like you said, she got to speak on it. And then I think they may have went through something.
Mm-hmm.
They resolved it at some point. But again, I'm an artist. I got to speak to this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, dog, once the woman get, you know what I'm saying, all the way in on your ass, at some point you just kind of like, all right, let me let her have her moment.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like that's what Jay was with this project. Mm-hmm. Let me let her have her moment. I might have fucked up a little bit. Because Jay that we know would never let himself be put out there You know what I'm saying? For, you know what I'm saying? At that level, to be beat upon with no recourse. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's the ultimate. This is my image. You know what I'm saying? I'm the coolest motherfucker. So I think he just had to bow down to it right quick. Go ahead, do your thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna eat that.
Mm. Yeah. That was that shit felt personal. That felt like it was one of them things. I felt like I was too it was uncomfortable even as a listener. Like, I ain't want to be in the middle of this shit. Right. This is real shit. These motherfuckers are throwing darts.
Throwing darts, man. She's saying specific shit, man.
I guess so. Yeah. I compared it to like Hear My Dear. Remember the old Marvin Gaye album? A friend of mine, Nikki P, shout out to Nikki P, she called it My Life on Steroids.
Right.
I think it's a different breed of, you know, because the thing with Hear My Dear was they were divorced. Like the proceeds from this album was going to
the judge awarded her the proceeds from the next album.
Right. So that's done deal. That's kind of like bing, bing, right?
And then he goes give her the worst album. In his mind, he think he's making the worst album.
And it was a hell of an album.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a fucking hell of... If that's Marvin's worst, that motherfucker's a bad dude.
It was supposed to be just giving us some bullshit.
Yeah, that shit was... I think... Because he got it off his chest.
Right.
Listen to anger!
Right.
Make your shit turn! Anyway, but this is one of those things that, like, listen, we're going to put this in the public.
Mm-hmm.
But we still going to be together.
Well, I think they already decided they was going to be together.
Right.
Probably before she started working on this record.
Right.
She probably had to go through
No, I'm saying, I would imagine so.
So that, you know, once they back together, it is, I'm going to put this out. You know what I'm saying? We good, but shit, I'm going to put this out.
But even still, that's very progressive. Because that's like, if you and your wife get into it, and then you tell the people, right? And then you tell the people, just whoever the people are. Because typically, that ain't even an option.
It's... Go ahead.
Okay, but typically that's, you know, as Big said, problems with my lady, don't discuss them, right?
Right.
Typically you vault that, y'all deal with it, y'all, we worked it out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Hush, hush.
But
then you put it out, maybe you put it out to the world, now you put it out to the world, now the world getting they 2 cents. I'm like, I don't know if I'd have done it like that.
Right.
And maybe does that stir the pot again?
Yeah, but you got to understand that if you got a cold red situation at the crib, there's somebody hearing about that shit. Whether it's her girl, whether it's her mama, you know what I'm saying? Somebody gonna hear some of that shit.
True, but that's still limited to close friends and family, not the listener, not the public, not the fans.
But the shit started in the public.
The speculation happened in the public.
That's some big speculation.
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The speculation started in the public. You know what I'm saying? Beyonce is very perceptive to who her audience is.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? What they own. You know what I'm saying? And she might have felt like, hey, you know, I'm going to give them something that's real. And
I got to let them know.
And respond to what they are already talking about.
Right.
In a way that I control.
Right. I kind of, maybe because I'm just not as...
progressive?
No. That ain't that. Nah, I'm going in a different direction. I'm not as invested in what they do.
Right.
Like, I see it. Right. Again, like, I'm still of the old school, I'll mind my business. I'll even consciously say, let me go ahead and look the other way. I see this shit. Like, even when I watched the elevator shit, I was like, oh, this shit is real.
Right.
This is uncomfortable. I hope they sort that out.
Right.
I didn't feel like, again, maybe I'm not invested in their relationship to the point that I didn't feel like I needed to hear any resolution in any of the art. Like, I didn't feel like, or I heard when they made the allusion, I didn't think that was that slick, but they made the allusion on the one record, I think it was the Feeling Myself remix with Nicki Minaj. It was like, that's what it looked like with $1 billion going down in the elevator. I felt like that was it. You know how Jay is good for that.
Right.
I'm going to give you motherfuckers one bar.
Right.
And we going to move on.
Right.
I'm not in the beehive, I'm not a stan, I'm not somebody that's invested in their relationship.
Right.
So maybe if you ask a fan, I wonder if the fan expectations were, I'm curious if she's going to tackle this on her next album.
Right. And I think that's probably speculation, but people are not used to her attacking nothing. Like you said, it's usually a one-liner and, you know, boop, boop, that we spoke to it, keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think it was any high expectations on her addressing that. Or any other thing in particular, they were just waiting to see what it was going to be, because the way they made that, you know, that vague pitch, you know, you don't know what it's going to be.
And they are kind of each other's muses, because since they've been like publicly together, like married and all that, they, it's definitely bled into the art.
No, no
on
doubt.
On both sides.
No doubt. And, you know, that's what makes me believe, you know what I'm saying? It's probably, you know, she definitely embellished and made hot sauce out of it, but she was definitely addressing some things that she had went through, as well as in the bigger picture, addressing a lot of shit that women go through, especially black women. You know what I'm saying? She addressed a lot of that shit, dog.
Oh, no, no, no. She tackled a whole lot of shit. She tackled a bunch of different things, especially, and that's, again, that's why it's cool to see the visual, because the visual, it brings about even more. Like, I've listened to the album once. I can't totally recall if the Malcolm X excerpts from the speech are just limited to the film, but that adds a whole nother dimension, as well as the mothers of Trayvon and, you know.
It was a circle of mothers.
Which Piers Morgan was like, yo, he felt like that was exploitation.
Oh, he get out of here, man. He ain't in it. You know what I'm saying? It's always been part of, you know what I'm saying, the culture to touch things that are actually happening. You know what I'm saying? People of the culture that would appreciate your presence, you know what I'm saying, within that space. So her bringing those mothers on, they already was supporting Black Lives Matter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Her bringing them on is letting everybody know I'm riding with it for real.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
that was bullshit. He just wanted to have something to say.
But that was exactly, remember when we talked about Circle of Mothers and me going down shooting for Trayvon Martin mother? That's basically the sentiment they portrayed in that little part right there.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? With the pictures and the mothers. And, you know, so that was cool, man, to me.
Yeah.
I did, you know, I appreciate the art form of it. I appreciate the change that she's making. Like, Complex, I think, was that you tweeted that? No, that was another, my other homeboy tweeted that. Complex said that, you know, kind of like, you know, if anything, we appreciate her commitment to music video, especially long form music video. And to me, you know what I'm saying, I thought that was kind of like a knock to what it actually was. You know what I'm saying?
I saw you tweet that. You was like, to call it a music video is limiting it.
Yeah, it's like, you know what I'm saying, it's almost insulting, because it was much more than, all right, I'm going to make a video for this song, a video for this song, and videos and put them all together. Kind of like the last album was kind of like, we'll put them all together.
Yeah.
This time it was a story interweave. It was like, you could tell that it was, the visual was part of the creative process throughout the process.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Knowing that you're going to have people watching it, people talking about it at the same time they're watching it, and addressing that within the creation of the project. That's not how projects was normally created. You know what I'm saying?
What's interesting too is that it came out 2 days after Prince died, and I don't know if he's the father of it. I mean, there's a couple of us, but Purple Rain was, you know, that was like the epitome of the album as a film. Right. You know, obviously it's different. It's a little bit more, you know, it's a little bit more scripted. It's a little bit more narrate. You know, it's a little bit more set up as a movie.
Yeah, it was
and not
an actual
maybe,
movie.
Yeah, it's not as, I don't know what you would call this, like a visual expression. I don't even know how you would, I mean, it's not a movie. It's not like there's lines and dialogue.
Right.
It's a lot of ideas captured. It's really like, it is a way, a long form music video in the way that it gives the music even more expression. Like it spells it out a little better. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to see her, what she's bringing, this imagery, you know, that kind of, it sends it home. It makes it a little bit more potent. Like, wow.
Right. I mean, I just think it just, like, again, changes the way an artist approach a project. You know what I'm saying? If you approach a project knowing that I'm going to write a movie, you know what I'm saying? You're going to make the movie, and then as you Prince, you putting them songs in as a soundtrack.
Right.
Kind of autobiographical.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When you making an album, you go, you make your songs. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Bing, 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 put them together. But in this particular case, you writing that film, making that song, and all of those things at the same time, and kind of crafting it in that manner. You know what I'm saying? To me, that's a different approach to album making. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Instead of, you know, you thinking I'm gonna get my producer, I'm gonna get my, you know, write my songs. You might have some songs, you might have some of the project, but at the same time, you like, okay, these are the type of directors I'm gonna work with to get this type of visual to match what I'm saying right here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And in before, if, as an artist, you would think, all right, I'm gonna make this song, ooh, and the video for this could be like this, and the video for that could be like that. Mm-hmm. But you didn't write the song saying, okay, overall, I'm putting all this together as one thing, as one piece of, as a product, one product.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That was it. What you think of the album?
Actually, I didn't listen to it as an album yet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I heard the music in the background, but I'm checking out what they showing and the little side stuff they saying, like in the poems. Those were dope.
Does it undermine the album as an audio experience? Because this is the second time. I think on a Beyonce album in particular, because the Beyonce album, maybe it was just because it was a collection of videos.
Mm-hmm.
You seen it the first time, you seen the visual album, you're like, all right, I get it, I like the videos. But then the songs stood alone because they're, you know, there's not to say that right. These songs on this one as a stand, I haven't had time to really sit with the album.
Right.
But this one felt like it was intertwined way deeper.
Right.
It's almost like you can't have one without the other. Like, what? Listening to the album? Right. It felt like somebody recorded that shit from television. You know how somebody records some shit? Right. You're like, damn, I wish I, like, you know, listen to a comedy album.
Right.
A recording of a comedy special. You'd be like, I wish I could see the face he made during this.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a different kind of product.
Yeah.
It's not what people were making.
So,
yeah, it does kind of undermine it as an album, but also made knowing that the main part of promoting the music is going to be radio and pulling out those singles anyway. So, you know, you want people to experience in the whole through your visual piece, but you know what I'm saying? You could pick the music separately through what we put out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And radio will separate the ones.
Yeah.
But as a listener, I never really thought to go listen to the songs by themselves. Because I'm not, like I said, I ain't no Beehive member. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sitting around listening to a lot of Beyonce
albums.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I will ingest it in the way that it was given to me as far as the visual.
I listen to a Beyonce album just for the fact she's kind of, you know, when she comes through, she dominates the conversation. It's almost like you got to be up on it. You need to know what's going on. You kind of need to, motherfuckers is talking about it.
Right.
You need to have an opinion.
Right.
Like, that's one of those type of things. What is your opinion? Let us know. Hit us in the, you know, the SoundCloud. Hit us on Snap. Hit us in the tweets. Let us know what you thought about it. Let us know where were you when you watched it. Did you watch it with your significant other? Was it tense?
That shit is pressure.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Dust
the side, bitches.
Do you think Jay gonna come with a response? Is Jay gonna get his artistic hat on?
Well, let's talk about that.
Man, let's talk
like,
about
like, okay, the imagery of Jay-Z, you know what I'm saying? He's kissing the feet, you know what I'm saying? He's, you know, pretty somber,
uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Defeated.
Or apologetic.
Apologetic, hunched over like, yeah, I fucked up. You know what I'm saying? That's a real, that's not a Jay-Z we've ever seen.
It's vulnerable Z.
It's vulnerable Z.
Yeah. Like, vulnerable
like,
Z.
What's your next record?
Sorry, 2016. I get Ruben Studdard on the hook. No. I don't know.
He'll probably try to just
he gonna say
act like
something
it never
slick.
Happened.
Nah, he's gonna
the first,
say,
you know what I'm saying, comeback hard, hat, yeah.
It definitely set up, which is, I mean, I'm sure that probably wasn't the intention, but it definitely set up the expectation. I don't need much, but it set up the expectation for another Jay-Z out. I'm like, let's hear what Jay talk about. I don't need him to respond to that. That shit, I don't need it to become that. But it's like, I kind of want to hear a little bit. I just want to know what's going through your mind right now. Because shit has gotten real in your life. And it's apparent. We all know. This is the first time we've ever really seen Jay-Z like in a predicament.
Well, Ether era. That was the Emperor Has No Clothes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the way he responded to Nas was like, oh, damn.
He's super ugly.
He's vulnerable. Like
just
in that time, because you know, remember they were running up and back and forth to the radio station every time they drop a new one.
Yeah.
And then once it started getting hectic, you could hear his voice, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't sounding as confident, you know what I'm saying, to me.
Still, but this is the thing about that. And I hear that. I got your point on that. But I feel like that just still is limited to a hip-hop paradigm,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This shit here is like, Jay always looked like, even if he'd have fell off, even if Nas would have bodied him, we knew he'd be fine. Like, he'll, you know what I mean? He might have gotten eaten by this thing, but he'd have been fine financially. He'd have been fine, sound mind and body.
Right.
He'd have probably been doing all right.
Right.
This type of shit, this look like duress.
Yeah.
This is like, woo!
That's pressure.
You, like, if, I feel like if you seen Jay-Z 24 hours within the screen of the Lemonade, even you might have walked up to him like, yo, man, sorry for you, bro. I hope shit work out for you. Like, you know, my, you know, woo!
Because even
it's a tough one. I'm going to look you in your eye and be like, ah, you doing okay?
Yeah, you know, that shit.
Todd's had to call, check in. You all right, man?
That shit is rough when you disappoint your old lady, man.
Yeah, in the world, no.
In the worst way. She.
Any fucking. Man.
Imagine, okay.
Imagine your lady came out with. Imagine your lady had an hour on HBO to air your ass out.
Air your ass out.
Shit. And not even, but the thing is, not even blindsided. You knew.
You got the.
You knew 2 months away. So you looking at the date, you like, oh, shit. Oh, look like the ads went out. You see a Twitter hashtag Lemonade. You're like, oh shit, fuck.
Let me go to an island with no
let me
internet.
Go somewhere where my phone don't work.
Go on the yacht. Come back a week later.
It's medicinal.
You know what I'm saying? Just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, imagine his thought process. You know, he Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? It ain't gonna hurt him in his pockets. You know what I'm saying? If they break up, but then another man got to raise blue, be round blue.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
B, I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry. You don't want that. As elusive as they are.
Yeah.
Then Mos Def pop up back here, put in the picture. Hey, girl, you good?
Oh, man.
Hey, girl, you good?
Oh, shit.
Nobody don't want to hear that shit. You going to get your shit together. You going to make your house right, man.
You got to. They could do a whole lot. A whole lot to save to it all.
Hey, that's when you say fuck.
That's when you're in front of the camera. He's like, okay, Jay-Z, I need you to rub those feet just a little bit more tenderly. We're going to do a close-up, all right?
I'm trying to tell you. Because, you know,
I need you to emote, please.
Conscious of his image, Jay. It had to be some pressure.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It ain't no real win for his ego in this scenario.
Nah. That's love is one of the few things that will make you check your ego.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you have to check that shit at the door.
You know, pride is man's greatest downfall. So sometimes you got to put that pride to the side.
To the side. Cheaper to keep it.
Rub them toes.
Rub them.
Rub them toes, Pop. Okay, we ready? And action.
So that just, seeing that, now you got to see what his next record gonna be.
Shit. Anyway, what else is going on? Respect Life Season 2 came back. Shout out to everybody involved. Shout out to Boom Pacino.
No doubt.
Shout out to the whole cast and crew over there. I watched it, episode 1.
Yeah, I checked it out.
I was into it, man.
Yeah. He had a lot of action in there. I'm mad they shot Lex, though. Damn. He was the realest one to me. The OG one.
Oh, wait, the cat that got shot in the
in the bodega. They didn't show him, but he got shot.
Which one was Lex?
Lex, remember the dude?
Oh, the OG that came home from jail. Right.
But his dude, the one who kept copping from him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was trying to tell him that the other cat was
slimy.
Oh, they
gave him an off camera. I didn't even catch that.
Yeah. He probably ain't had time to show it to the shoot.
I thought you meant my man that was robbing him for the keys and then tried to use the paperwork against the other dude.
Right. He the one killed Lex.
I thought he killed him last season. I thought we saw that.
He killed him in the bodega, the first murder in the show.
But But they don't show it.
They don't show it.
They talking about it. The girl is saying, the girl, I saw blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even put that together.
That's the OG. He killed him, then he went to the bus station.
My man had the illest death, though. That motherfucker, he was dying with a podcast. He was like, I'm going to tell you another thing.
And I'm going to light and smoke this cigarette.
I'm going to smoke this cigarette, spit out this motherfucking, this blood. I ain't no snitch.
Yeah, yeah. So you know they had it together, man.
It was cool. They brought some new characters in.
No, they keep a new character.
I thought it was good. we're gonna see what happens. I'm curious to see how it unfolds. Let us know if you're watching. Let us know if you've seen episode one. You was watching your Game of Thrones situation, huh?
Yeah, man. Game of Thrones started out, you know, they starting slow, man.
They starting slow?
Yeah.
Because they know they got the people.
They
got
to set it up, but God damn.
It was too slow?
Yeah, it was, you know.
Exposition-ass episode?
That's why I don't like that old appointment viewing, you know what I'm saying? That's why I'd rather binge watch the shit.
They got you, huh?
Yeah, you catch a bad one, you know what I'm saying, you right on to the next. Wow. This one, you catch a bad one, you just got to sit with it till next week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's terrible.
John, what you like? You like a binge or you like appointment?
I like appointment.
I like appointment, too. I like a little anticipation. I like it to feel like an event.
True that.
You know?
Not me.
Sometimes you don't really, I think sometimes when you binge in it, just like even when you binge drinking, you don't enjoy it as much. You know what I mean? Like, you're tearing through it. You missing the nuance. You're not letting the shit sign of sit with you. I enjoy that. I'm an old school cat with that, but you more on the bench front.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't really sit and watch a lot of things. So, you know what I'm saying? Once, when I do get the time to watch something, I usually have a binge.
You know, you're like a, you do films and shit like that. I've noticed a trend with like producers and people that make TV and things like that. They have this term. They say, oh, yeah, I watched it down. Like, that's their thing. I watched it down. Like, they really watching it to just get up to speed with it. Like, okay, I seen it. I understand what it is. I've processed it.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, you do that with some things. But with Game of Thrones in particular, you know what I'm saying? I'm watching it as, like, a consumer watch. I'm just like, oh, shit.
You're forced to do it.
Like, hey. You know what I'm saying? So, you know. I guess it's the setup, you know what I'm saying? It's getting you ready. And as appointment viewing, I guess they supposed to do it like
you
that.
You all the way caught up. You've seen every episode up until now. Now you went back and watched everything.
Yeah, I'm caught up.
I was thinking about jumping in this season just blind and seeing if it... I feel like, you know, just to do it, even though that's so against my whole shit, dude, I won't even see a movie. If I'm like 5 minutes late for a movie, I'm fucked. I don't even want to see... Like, I need to see the full context.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I was going to do it as just like... Just let me see if I can just jump into this shit, ignorant as fuck, blind to the whole thing and enjoy it. But
can I say one thing, though? Game of Thrones is the worst show to ever do that with.
Really?
There's way too many storylines. It's way too complex. You don't want to do it with that
show.
You'll
just be lost.
Way too lost.
Okay.
Word.
There you go. That's John on the mic.
And then a lot of people that you're seeing now are totally different, you know what I'm saying, than they were in the beginning.
Okay, so you didn't see them come up.
Or you didn't see them fall off.
Right, okay.
So, it's, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, when you're watching them, mm-hmm. Once you've seen all of them, you have that context of why they do certain things.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Coming in it blind, because we came in the middle. Like, we started, like, season four.
Right.
And
were you lost? Did you feel lost?
You know, you caught up to it, and you figured it out. Mm-hmm. But seeing it from the beginning, then you had way more context of, oh, snap, that's why they did that.
Mm.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? So it's all interconnected that way. You know what I'm saying? But we'd be remiss not to, you know, talk about the Purple Man.
I mean, yeah, let's talk about,
you know what I'm saying,
about Prince.
You know, that was crazy out the blue.
That shit was, you know what, I was just saying this today. I think it's better sudden than it is to see someone like that decline.
Nah, no doubt.
Wait
no
for
doubt.
Them to pass. Nah, you know what I mean?
Doubt.
Like,
that was a legendary.
Because it kinda makes you really appreciate how lucky you were to have the time that you did with that man. Like, right. You know, and it was sad because he's one of those artists that I couldn't really fathom life without. You know, he's older. You know, he's human and all of that. But right. It's just like one of those people that's just omnipotent. Like, he's always around.
Yeah, he never aged, like, you know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, he had vampire blood. How you gonna die?
Yeah, man, but that shit was, that was sad. That was sad. It was a, ooh.
And, you know, back in the day, like I said before, man, I wasn't no R&B person.
Right.
No stretch of the imagination. But Prince almost fell into the funk category to me. You know what I'm saying? The way he talked and, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and the beats that he had. So, you know what I'm saying? I was a Prince over Michael Jackson type of person. And,
yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying? By the time you got to 11th, 12th grade, you really trying to get it in with the chicks. Prince was, you know what I'm saying? He was your go-to.
He's aphrodisiac.
He's your go-to.
He is the point guard. He's throwing you alley-oops.
You know what I'm saying? You just sit in and let the Prince kick in. You know what I'm saying? You just be quiet. Hush.
Yeah. Don't say shit.
Let that Prince kick in.
Yeah. And then on another level, too, beyond, I mean, his legacy's so big, but then another thing that I really took to about Prince is he was so independent and bossed up when it came to his own intellectual property.
Right.
He was about his business, you know? And
I
really appreciated that. He was very like a bold businessman.
Yep.
And, you know, in an era where a lot of people would just they'd sell themselves short just to be close to the fire.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he came in the door knowing his worth. I think I'm going to put it on the Facebook page. There's a hell of a Rolling Stone article I read a couple months ago from like 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shows you he walked in the door with just this like self-assured belief of his talent and who he is from the door. Like, he ain't new to that. He didn't grow to be that guy. He walked in that dude. And I thought that shit was so dope. It is some stunts that he pulled in that interview that are like, he's a legend.
Yeah.
You know, so rest in peace to that man.
Yeah.
Did you go to any of the celebrations? It was some celebrations.
No, I was working that night, so I didn't make the Brooklyn Spike Lee joint.
Yeah.
I told you, I almost would have ran into him at that joint, too.
You
know, I told you it's coming. It's going to be good.
Don't have your handheld hatchet?
Nah, okay. Man. You know, I told you, I'm burying the hatchet.
Okay, good. That's what's up.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I did pay my respects and actually use my $9.99 title subscription.
Okay.
Because they the only ones had the catalog.
Right.
So it was a big weekend for old Tidal, old winning ass Jay.
Yeah, they had a good one. Which was interesting, though, but Tidal only had the Beyonce shit exclusive for less than 24 hours.
No doubt. But that was
they were like, we got to get this money.
Look,
if I'm going to take these hits, we got to get the lion's share of this paper.
And I'll let it be on your little service for one day.
For half a day.
Your little service.
Nigga.
You know, when they hit you with the little, that's a problem.
Little ass Tidal wave.
Yeah, little Tidal wave.
Anyway, man. Speaking of waves and, you know, Splash Brother Steph Curry.
Ah.
Sprained knee, out for 2 weeks.
Damn. I don't like that.
Well, I don't like it either. It's a damn shame. It's almost like a curse. But the good thing is they said it was a clean MRI. It's no ligament tear.
Right.
You know, which could have been even worse. It's 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks in the playoffs. It's spaced.
That's a series and some change, maybe.
It's at least maybe four games. I don't know. Maybe four games. They still in the. Did they dust off Houston already? Are they done with Houston or they got Houston tonight? I'm not sure. We're going to look into that. But I know they got the Clippers coming up next, and they probably needed to be fully.
The Clippers lost CP3.
Oh, what?
He got a broken hand or some shit.
Shit. When did this happen?
Last night.
Oh, shit. This shit is terrible.
You know, the Clippers might not
twist.
Even, you know what I'm saying?
It's a plot twist.
Clippers might not get there.
Fuck. I thought they already advanced.
Nah, it's a tie. It's tied up.
Who they going up against, the Clippers?
You asked me too many questions, man.
And you had a lot of information. You made yourself sound like an expert.
I'm a sports center.
Listen, this sports segment is about to be so fast. Go ahead, Joe.
They still got the Rockets.
They still got one more game, huh?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Damn.
Which is today.
Okay, today.
No doubt.
There it is. So, But they've been looking good.
They've been looking good without Steph. You know what I'm saying? They talented.
I think they could get a couple games off of like solidarity. You know, a few solidarity wins. Like, yeah, we're going to do this one for Steph.
And that's all they need to get past Houston.
Yeah. You know I mean, saying? But that's only one more game.
Yeah.
And then now if the Clippers, if Chris Paul's hand is broken, and that was a woo, that was a blessing. No disrespect to either one of them, but I mean it opened the door for both of them. It was like right. they're both fucked in the game right now. It's evenly fucked up. No, it is. I mean, it's not good at all. It's actually worse for the Clippers because a good broken hand.
Yeah, he might not make. I don't think he's coming back.
Damn.
That's a wrap. Broken hand, that's what, 6 weeks?
Didn't he get hurt last playoffs too? Or was he?
Everybody getting hurt.
I don't know, man. I don't know why.
Steph Curry is, you know what I'm saying? He has a thing where his ankles is, you know what I'm saying?
He gets hurt a lot?
Yeah, he get hurt. Early in his career, you know, was hurting his ankles and stuff.
Let us know who you got. Who's your pick? Who you think is going through this whole shit? Who's going to take the chip? I know LeBron is balling crazy from what I understand.
Yeah, they holding it down in the East, but, you know, that shit pales in comparison to the Splash.
Right.
The Wave.
Yeah, that's all.
They ain't even playing LeBron wins.
No, they not. Like, he ain't even hot no more. Ain't that a bitch?
Over there dominating. They ain't even talking about his ass. That's messed up.
Anyway.
They took their talents to the West.
Yeah. I mean, shit, the human highlight reel. You know. So I think it's time for us to transform and roll out. Unless you want to say something else to the people.
Hey, people. Thanks for joining us.
You know what?
What?
People. 5/22, May 22nd.
What?
We going to be at
5/20 what?
5/22.
May what?
22nd.
Okay.
Cake Shop.
Cake Shop.
Lower East Side. Manhattan. Sunday.
In the conversation.
Live.
Ooh.
We want y'all to come out, get a ticket. We about to, it's going to be something.
Yeah, go grab the tickets because we about to do it.
Live in the flesh.
You know what I'm saying? We kicking off that Summer 16.
Yeah. We Summer 16. Speaking of which, did you see that Drake cover?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. Drake know how to fuck with the meme culture. He ain't stupid.
He's native to that. That's how he came in.
But anyway, enough of all of that. 522, let's be clear. 522, tickets are available now. About to put the links up. Put it up on the Facebook, put it up all over. But yeah, go out, man. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To go to In the Conversation Live.
And buy them tickets.
There you go. But before we really go, let them know where you're going to be at, though. Because we didn't definitely fast forward.
It's all good. You know, they know where to find me on that Snapchat at Thorough TV, Thoro TV. You know what I'm saying? We actually building that out right now. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So stay tuned.
Okay, bet. Well, listen, if you are in Arlington, Texas, I need you to be at the Arlington Improv this weekend. I am there from the 28th to Sunday, May 1st. Come through. We're going to have a good time. About to make a movie. This is the second time I went. I'm coming back to Arlington. I had a great time the first time. So if you were there the first time and had fun, come back. I got more shit to talk. And if you've never been, you need to come this time. But until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yeah.
We out.